Reading is from the chapter of Matthew, chapter 4, verses from 18 to 22. So Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. The calling of the first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of the Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for standing in front of you and praying for today. The verses here that we read is really tremendous. Jesus called them and they just answered immediately. Thank you very much for that. God, please let us to be like that every day, in every sense, in every part of our lives. When you call us, let us be there for you. Please give strength and power to today's words. Please bless Pastor Joseph when he is preaching. And thank you, God, for this beautiful day and for being in your home. Amen.
A brother was sharing with me something, a conversation with his wife. And he said when he talked with his wife about salvation, about God, about spirituality, his wife says to him, "Well, I do have my traditions and I do have my forefathers and I have to follow them." And my comment after we finished the conversation was that just because our forefathers did it, it doesn't mean we have to do it too. Just because someone's forefathers were gangsters, it doesn't mean he has to be a gangster. Just because his forefathers were slave traders doesn't continue to be, or drunkards. And we must really pick whom or what we should follow. And this is what the message this morning is, because many people are following many, many religions, different people, and they have their own understanding of what really faith is all about. But let's go to the beginning of our faith. When Jesus was about to start his early mission, he looked for few men who would become his disciples. Mathetes. The Greek word is mathetes, a student, a disciple, a follower. The word manthano in Greek means I'm learning. That's what Jesus wanted. Some people who would follow him and learn, and then at the end of his ministry he said, "Now that you have learned, go and teach." Jesus was looking for some men who were willing to make a long-term commitment to follow him and learn from him. But Jesus did not go to the temple or synagogue or religious learning center to choose his students. He went to the marketplace and where the average Jews lived, worked, and called those who were willing to follow him. Sad to say today, when a church wants to invite a pastor, when an organization wants to send missionaries, what they will do is ask for CVs. Now, CVs may be okay. And they will say, "What degrees do you have?" And even without seeing the person or talking with the person, or praying with the person, they will either hire the person or invite him. And then we hear of so many difficulties the churches find themselves in. Jesus knew better. Jesus went to the marketplace and he chose fishermen. Hey, they know how to catch fish. And then he was a carpenter. He knew how to cut and fix and build things. And then he went to the tax collector. He knows how to do things. And he brought them all together. And then he started teaching them. That's what mathetes means. Mathetes, his disciples were called learners. One day, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon and his brother Andrew, fishing. They were fishermen. Jesus called them and said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You must be kidding, right? You would have thought that they thought that Jesus was kidding. There were fishermen, and they were asked to become fishers of men. Or they may have had ignored him completely, but they didn't. They were just two fishermen doing that what they could do best, fishing. They were fishing for a living. That was their job. But they did not question Jesus' reasons or motives for calling them. They just accepted the call, trusted him, and followed him. His promise was to make them fishers of men. When God calls, he enables the person or persons he calls. The "follow me" meant more than just physical nearness. It included their imitation of Christ's character. It may sound funny. Their willingness to imitate his character. Not only hypocrites, but to reflect Christ. In other words, reflect Christ in their daily walk. Their life was to be a ministry of character, not only words. The "follow me" meant, and I have few "follow me's" right now. The "follow me" meant faith. The "follow me" of faith. Simon, Peter, and Andrew were busy at their daily workplace, making a living, providing for their families. They may have been struggling with problems just like most of us. And yet, they believed and responded to Jesus when he called them. Jesus went where people were to call them to follow him. He meets us where we are. When he calls us, he is willing to prepare us for service. The problem today is that we don't trust ourselves. Either don't trust ourselves, or we know we have the gift and yet we are too busy doing other things. These disciples obviously knew that they were not preachers. They knew that they didn't have any degrees. They knew that they were not scholars. They also knew that they were fishermen, and that's exactly what they knew how to do best. And yet, when Jesus called them, they responded. When God calls you, when God calls me, he knows what he's doing. The problem is we don't want to respond, or we ignore him. Their hearts had been touched and prepared for his call. Have you heard the "follow me" of faith? Have you responded to his call? And this is not only to go out and become a missionary. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. Not everyone can do a missionary's work. Not everyone is called to teach. Not everyone is able to teach. Not everyone is called to sing. Not everyone can sing well. But everyone can be should be willing to say yes to the call. And then that's God's business, how he is going to prepare you from there on. The second was, the first is the follow me of faith. To believe. First, to believe that God can use you. To believe that you are an instrument, or you can become an instrument in a sense. Very, 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 very often I look at myself and say, Lord, you must have a sense of humor. You invited me to be a minister. You sent me to Armenia. There are better people, better equipped, better in many ways, and yet he knows what he's doing, I have come to believe. The second one is the follow me of fishing of men, or fishing for men. The neglected call today is personal evangelism. And the results of neglecting this call to evangelize are few churches are filled, while millions of souls are perishing. We, as churches in general, come up with great ideas. We have great workshops. We call great speakers. We invite teachers. We hire singers. We hire great pianists. We do this. We decorate the building. We send out flyers. And we say, God has created us, and come and listen. And yet we always pass the buck. We always ask someone else to do the job. Rather than going to our neighbor and friend and classmates or neighbors or relatives and say, come with me. One day, this is a story, of course, someone made it up. Two ladies were friends. One died and the other one stayed. The one was a believer, the one that was not dead was a believer, the other one was an unbeliever. And the story says this unbeliever from hell sent her a letter. And in that letter she was saying, we were good friends. We walked together, we worked together, we played together, and we exchanged good stories together. We really were good friends. And yet, you never told me that there is heaven. And you never told me about salvation. You never told me that I need to be saved. You never even invited me to your church once. And now, in hell, I know that you are not my friend. Personal evangelism is very important, the most important thing. There are many joyless believers practicing a religion but not following Christ. There is one thing to be religious. There are, in the name of religion, buildings are built. In the name of religion, associations have been put together. In the name of religion, wars have been declared. In the name of religion, people are being killed. In the name of religion, people hate other people. And yet, that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ was at all. It was, love your enemy. And reach out and bring the good news to them. But those who follow Christ enjoy their walk with Christ and bring joy to the church. Only the person who walks and talks with Jesus knows how he or she feels. The joy of your salvation is not demonstrated by how high you jump when they sing, or how loud you shout, or how high you raise your hands, or how many times you come to church. The joy of your salvation is when you are alone in bed, when you are having a shower, when you are nobody's around, and even when there are many around you, you still have that joy of your salvation. You don't need someone to make you feel happy. You are already happy as a Christian. But those who follow Christ enjoy their walk with Christ and bring joy to the church. For those who follow Christ, people are more important than church programs and other activities. Let me say that again. For those who follow Christ, people are more important than church programs and other activities. Third, the follow me of full surrender. Matthew 16:24, and I quote, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I've said the next statement I'm going to make many times, and I'm going to make it again. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He didn't say when you become a Christian, all of a sudden your bills will be paid, all of a sudden you'll be full of happiness, that you'll never get sick, that you will always be on a spiritual high. He never said that. Jesus was not practicing a life like that. He had no place to sleep when they asked him where you stayed. When he was hungry, he ate with the disciples fish and bread. When he was in the agony, when he was agonizing about his death, he was sweating blood. And if Jesus went through all this, why are we preaching, or people are preaching, about a different gospel, which is not what the Bible teaches? Peter and Andrew heard the call and responded immediately. In true faith, they left their nets. In true commitment and devotion, they followed Jesus. That's all the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Self-denial is part of God's call. This call still affects us today. Self-denial still is part of Christ's call. Self-denial doesn't mean going around saying, I'm poor, I'm saved, I have given up the world, I am not going to eat many things, I am not going to drink anything, I'm not going to enjoy sports, I'm poor, I'm a believer, I'm born again believer, I'm going to wear... This is not what it says. Self-denial is not that. Self-denial is putting Christ on the throne in my life. Myself is less important than God. Myself is less important than the Word of God. That's self-denial. And if Christ becomes the most important person in my life and His Word is my guide, then I will not go wrong. Full surrender brings complete victory. Full surrender brings complete victory. Then the call came next to James and John. They too became instant disciples, leaving not only their job, but their father as well. They acknowledged the priority of Jesus over the earthly ties. Many today will tell you stories about their families and how their families hate them. A Jewish believer, I have Greek Orthodox believers who, when they became believers, their families said, you have become heretics out of our life. There are those in other countries, when they become believers, they kill them, they imprison them. They're not allowed to worship God, and yet they are willing to follow God, to follow Christ. But we have not come to that point in our life to look at God, look at Jesus and say, He is really the most important person in my life because He created me. You'd rather hear, or I shouldn't say you, people are willing to hear about sports, about jokes, about all kinds of things from the pulpit because it makes them feel good. And what am I doing here? I'm saying deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow. But what I'm not able to say to you is that when you do that, you become the happiest person on earth. And unless you've tried it, Brother Quinton, is that true? It is. He is living it. And I believe I could ask every one of you, and some of you may say, I think so. D, or fourth, the follow me of focusing on Jesus. Now, that's important. At the end of his ministry on this earth, and before he was taken up into heaven, Jesus had asked Peter whether he loved him 3 times. And Peter had replied, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus' response was, follow me. But Peter wanted to know what was going to happen with John. So he turned to Jesus and asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. What Jesus was saying, in other words, was none of your business. What I do with Peter, or what I do with Richard, what I do with Stella, is my business. Your business is to know what I want and expect from you. And when you understand who you are, then you'll know why I love you so much. The problem is we don't think much about ourselves. And that's good, but also bad. Because if we don't believe that we have an eternal soul in this body, and if we don't believe that we are so valuable that Jesus, God Himself, came and died on the cross to save that soul, to save you, then you don't love yourself. I know people may misunderstand you. People don't never understand you, but God does. And religion has become now a club. A religion has become a forum where they play little games. Religion has become a place where they criticize, they judge, and they execute people, rather than a place, an oasis, where you come in and you are dying of thirst and you find some water and you drink the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the water of life, or spiritual food to live by. And Jesus said to his disciples, or to those he called, come, and I'll make you fishers of men. So many Christians are so preoccupied with things and people and doctrines that they miss all the blessings that come from following Christ. Our Lord answered to Peter, Lord's answer to Peter applies to all of us. What is that to you? You follow me. It is sad to see that many who call themselves Christians and religious are not really following Christ, even though they seem to be active in religious activities. By responding to the call of Christ, these fishermen became key figures in the evangelization of the world. It took few fishermen to change the world. It took a tax collector, a sinner, to change the world. It took all kinds of different people who were willing to give their lives to change the world. It will take you to change the world where you are. If they had stayed where they were and had ignored the call, we would have never heard of them. Obeying Christ makes all the difference in the world. What is your response to God's call to you? Regardless of what others do or say, what is your response? Will you follow Jesus always, or whenever you have time, or whenever you have time or feel like it? I should emphasize that better. Will you follow Christ always, or whenever you feel like it, or you feel comfortable or enjoyable? That call. May God help each one of us focus on Jesus. I'm not saying be a good Baptist, be good Catholic, people. Nothing like that. What I'm saying is follow Christ. Jesus said, forget about the priest. Forget about the temple at this point. Forget about everything. Just follow me. Now, Jesus said that because he was God. He is God. And he had the authority to say, follow me. I don't think other spiritual leaders, although some of them did, say, I am God, follow me. But Jesus is God. And he says, focus on me. I've created you. I'm sustaining you. I know your inside. I know what you're thinking right now. And still, I love you. Follow me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for loving each one of us. We have come short of your expectations many times. And yet you still love us, and the Holy Spirit is there to encourage us, strengthen us, and help us deal with all kinds of difficult situations. We thank you. May your Holy Spirit touch each one of us today. May we be revived. May we see the real truth, Lord, and not the truth as presented by men and women, but only see you and focus on you. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.